Sustaining alive! Sustaining alive! Sustaining alive!
Sustaining alive on 95BFM.
Rita!
Hello, how are you?
I'm pretty good. So is John, I assume. He seems in pretty good spirits. He's right here, he can speak for himself.
Rita, wonderful to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Mm.
Had a couple of weeks of guest speakers.
Yeah, nothing.
Marnie was great last week, actually.
Oh, she's awesome.
And Russell Newman before that as well, wasn't it?
She's taking on, you know, our freshwater crisis, and she's just great. She's just great. She was actually my neighbour once upon a time.
What do you know?
There you go.
Now, Rita, this evening on Sustaining Alive, we're talking about contaminated sites throughout New Zealand.
Yeah, so...
Not somewhere you want to be the neighbour of, am I right?
No, exactly.
No way.
Exactly. We've talked about it a bit before in terms of, you know, New Zealand's got a lot of unofficial contaminated sites, and that's probably pretty common across the globe, I would say. But today we're kind of talking about the long history of kind of these bigger sites that we probably should have seen the contamination coming, because they were run by private companies and then they've, you know, folded and left us with the cost of the cleanup.
How bad is it? Fukushima bad?
Bit with the TY Point smelter kind of happening in front of us. So I thought I'd talk about the history before we got to TY, because this isn't a first for us. So we should really be pretty well versed in it now, but we're not. So New Zealand's had a long history of these kind of sites where businesses have come in and set up. Some of the sort of more famous ones was called, one of them was Mapua in Nelson, which was a fruit growers chemical company. And it was run for 56 years before it was abandoned in 1988. And it was known as New Zealand's most contaminated site. And it was located between the ocean and like residential sites, because that was a great place, you know, obviously for, you know, exporting or get, you know, moving these chemicals around. But it left behind, they made like DDT and Agent Orange, so like the nastiest of chemicals, as well as,
what the fuck,
know.
Did you say Agent Orange?
Yeah,
holy
yeah,
shit, Steph.
I did.
So what, is that just lying around out there somewhere?
Yeah, we've,
what?
Taranaki down in New Plymouth made Agent Orange as well. So
what? For who?
Yeah,
for what?
We've been pretty involved in some of the like war crimes around the world.
Is that like Vietnam, Agent
yeah.
Orange? Oh,
yeah.
Snap.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, I've been to Vietnam and I've seen what that shit does, and it's not.
It's pretty nasty.
Yeah.
And
terrific,
I think
is what it is.
That at the time they were making it, you know, it wasn't necessarily seen as bad as it was, but people knew it wasn't good, you know. So, if somebody's making it, then you would think, even, I don't know, it's so hard to look back on this stuff, but to me it's like, surely there was some concerns about these sites back when this stuff was happening.
Is it a case of, you know, take on a contract, brew up this thing, don't really know what it is, here you go, America, cheers for the money, like before you really know what you're doing?
Yeah.
Like that's the convenient excuse probably, but.
Yeah. I mean, the chemists that work on this stuff, you know, they're scientists. They're not silly.
Yeah.
You know, they put it near a rat and it dies. They're like, oh, okay. Probably should just spill some more on the ground.
So
what happens.
Where is the site? Sorry.
So it's in Nelson.
Right. Fuck.
And in 19, it's sort of in the 90s, it sort of came up, and the district council, I think it's called Tasman District Council down there, was really struggling to clean it up. And so the central government got involved in the cleanup. And it's cost over $8 million to clean it up, but they're still having major issues.
You're actually blowing my mind right now. How big is the area?
Can I buy a cheap house down there?
I reckon.
You can.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah.
Oh, it's bad. It's bad. It's socio-bad. what is actually the mess? Like, is it... like?
It's left... So that particular site is leftover chemicals in the soil, and it's leaching.
No.
You know, they tried to remove the soil, and then they realised that was not really that feasible. So they tried to cover... They tried to, like, I think... the next stage is to just like cover over it, you know, Yeah, it's not great. That one's quite tricky from what I can understand. That they haven't fully got on top of it. Someone from the area might know a little bit more because there's a lot of reports about how it's been cleaned up, but they're not happy with it and they're going to go back and do more stuff. So it's one of those things that the bill's like $8 million, but it's going to probably end
that
up being
seems
a
like
lot more.
Not enough at all. Yeah. So how do you do it? Do you have to like dig a massive thing out of the ground and then just dump it in the ocean? Or somebody's texting saying the whole town.
I mean, in an ideal world, you just remove all that soil. But from memory, it was like either between 4 or 8 hectares. So it was quite a large piece of land. I mean, it's a lot of soil to move. And then what do you do with that soil? You then have to, bury it in a contained place, which is not cheap either.
Somebody's saying the whole town, multi-generational cancer. Is that?
Well, that's just it, right? Yeah, right. Totally.
Oh, man.
Totally. It's pretty gnarly stuff. And then there was the Tui mine. So, I think the Tui mine was in operation in the 60s. So this kind of, I guess, all sort of happened at a similar time where they started realising that these operations weren't great. But nothing much has happened to protect us, by the way, since these sites, which is why I'm raising them. So the Tui mine is on the slopes of Te Aroha, which is down in the eastern Waikato. Mm-hmm. It's not far from where Jacinda Ardern is actually from. And it was a mine that dug out, I guess, copper, lead and zinc.
Mm.
But what happened was they basically closed up shop and left behind, the company went under or whatever, and left behind waste tailings, including cadmium, and 100,000 cubic metre tailing dam, which is not just majorly toxic, but unstable. So in a, mild seismic activity would burst. So they left that behind for taxpayers to clean up, so that's great. They've left behind what's actually happened is the waste, they found the water in the town supply water was actually contaminated with heavy metals.
Mm.
So it was leaching into the waterways. The catchment is toxic. And like I say, that dam was really unstable. So that has the taxpayer cleaned it up at a cost of about $22 million, and a company has taken it over, but their cost to decommission it is $154 million, which they are not in a position to pay. So that's going to cost us even more down the track.
Rita, I just put up a quick Wikipedia entry on this particular site, and it said
the Tui mine.
The dam contains over 100,000 cubic metres of very acidic sulfide-rich tailings. In 1997, there had been no natural plant recolonisation on the tailings for more than 20 years.
Oh, man.
It says something about how bad it is.
Yeah, I mean, that just goes to show.
Are you talking about a body of water as well?
Like, yeah, so a tailings dam is usually just like when they are digging out stuff, like the mine, they'll quite often have to put water in it, and then they just get all that kind of like slushy stuff and put it somewhere.
Right.
I mean, that's a very simplistic explanation of tailings, but it's kind of that waste, and so quite often it's got a whole lot of, yuck. Definitely.
Do you know what I'm thinking about? I'm just thinking about like kids going on like little Standby Me adventures and just, getting amongst the shit, and that's what's freaking me out the most.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
How are these places labeled? Like if I cruise along,
is it fenced off?
And, is there like big like yo? I bet it's not explaining anything, but there'll be like the skull and crossbones kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's probably a little bit different to some of the stuff we've talked about in the past where those unofficial sites, like people's backyards, or, where they've scraped lead paint off their houses and it's run down and gone into the soil and then your kids play in it. I mean, those sorts of, that stuff's rife in New Zealand. And that's a good lesson to learn for people, don't plant a garden on the side of your house because quite often that's where the lead paint has been scraped and just fallen down.
Good tip.
That's quite different to these sites, which are more official and usually labelled with, fencing or, there's something that tells you not to enter.
And,
but unfortunately, it's not just going in there, right? It soaks into the ground and goes into the water. So yep. that's our water table, and that's where the big problems lie. And like that one in Nelson, that was right next to the ocean. So without a doubt, in fact, I was reading they did find, I can't remember what the chemical was, but, you know, a chemical at thousands times higher than what the World Health Organization recommends. So, you know, there's some pretty gnarly chemicals leaching out of these sites.
Now, this has sort of come up because of the TY Point aluminium smelter, which is sort of it has been looking like it's going to wrap up. They're going to wrap up operations there, and it is owned by an overseas company who are looking like they might pull the pin on it at any moment. They've said they're going to operate until 2024, but they've been in the news because there is a ton of waste down there, which is toxic.
Yes, so that's what I'm getting to here is, you know, we look at these historic things and we go, how on earth did that happen, you know? How on earth did we just let someone produce DDT and then just walk away from it, leaving us to pay for it? And then you look now at today and we're doing almost exactly the same thing with the TY Point and, you know, people are screaming, oh, but jobs are... And to be fair, there is very little down in Invercargill that... you know, that hires that many people, that employs that many people. So I do get that. But, you know, leaving behind a legacy at the scale of contamination that we're talking about is actually terrifying. And it's probably cheaper to just pay these people to do something else, you know, than it will be to clean it up. So the problem that we have with TY is that they have really... So listeners understand, if you don't know, it's an aluminium smelter. And it actually is one of the cleanest in the world because the energy to produce aluminium is extremely high. So you need a lot of electricity. And ours in New Zealand comes from hydro dam. So it's actually a really clean aluminium smelter in that respect.
Right.
Unfortunately, what we haven't been able to sort out is the toxic waste that comes with it. So for the TY Point, we've talked quite a bit about how there was some of that waste was being held in a place called Matoda, which is sort of just a bit north of Invercargill. And the problem there was that TY had paid, or the company that runs TY, had paid another company to get rid of the waste. That company had gone under and just literally left it in a warehouse. Mm. Now, it's really interesting because the company had gone under, but they were actually a very wealthy mining company overseas. So they still had a lot of money. They just
Yeah, strategic bankruptcy.
Yeah, bankrupt.
Do you know what you got me thinking about? The Waiuku Steel Mill.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know too much about that.
It's like constantly running.
Yeah,
and it's right by the water. You know, like the whole thing is just a bit.
Yeah, I don't. It's definitely.
And I've heard stories. I've heard of families saying, you know, cancer stuff. But man, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if people are, you know, if anyone's looking into this. I really do wonder about it. You know, we've got toxic sites in Waikato because of the phosphorus. We've covered that really early days of the cadmium in the soil down there, which 100% will be causing some cancers. So it will be very hard to separate that from contamination. All of this stuff is really, really hard to pinpoint where it's coming from, unfortunately, and that's what makes it, you know, these guys can wash their hands of it and no one's really suing them because it's very hard to prove.
What's funny is...
Well, whole towns are built around it.
There's
an
article on Stuff today and it said, well, New Zealand Aluminium Smelters is looking as a way to deal with it, all this toxic waste down at TY Point, is just to export it somewhere else.
The waste?
Yeah.
Like 2 barrels of aluminium, 1 barrel of waste. Kind of thing.
There's about 170,000, I think it is, tons of this stuff. And I think
170,000.
What was that, sorry?
Just
170,000 tons.
So yeah, something like that. And then 70,000 of it, I think they've got rights to export somewhere, which is kind of embarrassing because it's like, you know, you can't take the profit and then export the problem somewhere.
Can you actually do anything at all with this waste? How do you deal with it?
That's a really good question. No, I think you can, again, bury it and line whatever it's buried.
Is that all? Is that where we're at? You can't
just like a dump.
There is some stuff you can do with it, but I don't think it's that recyclable. There's some, you know, you can take some of it and recycle it and use it for. I did read, I can't remember what it was. It's expensive, right? So this is the problem: there's a cheaper way of producing that thing, rather than trying to extract the mineral out of a waste product. So quite often it just ends up getting buried because that's a cheaper way of dealing with it. Or just leaving it for taxpayers to clean up. Like that, and at the moment what we've got, the problem we've got with the company running TY is that they won't even release their risk plan. They won't release the clean up plan. You know, that they're saying they're going to, so I think that it's on us to make sure that they do, or else it just kind of will come out once they've closed up, and it won't be pretty, I don't think, if that's the case. So, yeah, it's definitely one we should be keeping an eye on very closely. Yeah, 100,000 tonnes of cyanide-laced hazardous waste just sitting 85 metres from the ocean, which is great. And the government doesn't have any idea how much contamination is going to be left behind or how much contamination is really there, and the operational and risk management plans are not available.
You don't want to be the government that finds that out either, I don't think.
And, at this stage, the smelter is only open until 2024 before Rio Tinto, the owner.
It seems like any place that like makes a metal and has to like melt shit together creates like a bad thing, right? That kind of, is there a good way to do it? Or?
Probably. Probably not, you know. I mean, that's definitely a question for a scientist.
But a lot of people are texting and making the point that a lot of this land is basically stolen land from the original people, and we, you know, people just doomed it from here on out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tragic.
This whole thing is pretty tragic, and, you know, we are setting ourselves up for, you know, some really major problems to have to clean up or not, and then just deal with, you know, living in a toxic wasteland, which is even scarier.
I'm hopeful if you can dig a deep enough hole, you know, and then put all the stuff real deep in the
maybe
hole.
Maybe some lava will melt it.
Lava doesn't fix everything, John. You can't. Lava and lightning.
I really worry about doing stuff like this on, like, you know, one of the most seismically active countries
true.
In the world.
I'm like, hey,
can I just say Fukushima to everyone a couple of times? Fukushima, still oozing shit out
and
into the ocean.
That's kind of how I'll close this. I mean, I think we need to absolutely be doing better cost-benefit analysis on this stuff. Yes, there's jobs, there's some tax and royalties. You know, I'm yet to see any mining operation that has made more in tax and royalties than the cleanup, so I'm not entirely sure that but we do need to look at cost benefit analysis properly and be including like worst case scenarios and getting these companies to pay deposits for land use, or possibly, you know, if they're not paying deposits, at least make sure they hold enough assets in New Zealand to cover the liabilities. Because it's no good that they're, you know, worth billions of dollars in Dubai if they are refusing to pay anything into New Zealand. So, that's something I think we really need to start taking seriously. And the RMA is going to be revised, the government's announced. So this is a really good chance for us to really be looking at this and, you know, even existing consents that are out there and how we deal with those. Because that's a lot of the stuff is kind of hangovers from old consents.
Does sound vintage. The whole thing's vintage, you know, like all these old, like, mine things and that. Like, learn to code, everyone. Hey.
Excuse
me. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
I think you need some sort of metal on your computer.
Yeah, that's right, John.
Damn it.
It comes down to this being like an overarching issue with us using the environment as a free resource in production and taking the profits and then leaving you know, a major cost of production, which is the environmental cleanup, to future generations, you know, and it's...
That's just the classic. That a lot of our chats on Sustaining Alive always come around to the short, puny, little, crummy memory of the human and how we just go, oh, we're only here for like a little bit, I don't care. Like somehow we just don't have the foresight to worry about generations, even though humans have been here for a few thousand, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's bizarre.
It is.
It's bizarre. I mean, it's definitely in our makeup, though, I think.
Yeah.
In our psychological makeup.
Wonder why that is.
We're better at dealing with,
immediate.
You know, the saber-toothed tiger in front of us.
Yeah, and, right.
Yeah, I think.
Keen.
Yeah, so that's another happy conversation.
We got a lot of texts
in.
Thanks to everybody who's texting in a very obviously passionate situation. Everyone's, you know, can get frustrated about because it's genuine frustration because it's a lot of it is out of our control because it is past tense stuff that we're dealing with, like you say. So
yeah, it is, and I think there's also that thing where a lot of it's under commercial sensitivity, so we can't even push for more information, which is quite frustrating, you know. And that's an argument, I guess, for state-owned enterprise or state-owned kind of assets, because then at least, you know, all that information is public information.
Well, if it's affecting our land, we need to know everything that we need to know. That's end of...
Totally. That stuff should all be in the public domain, even if it is, you know, commercially
sensitive. Yeah, there'd be a reason why it isn't. Okay, Rita, we should probably wrap it up. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks a bundle. Hey, somebody's asking how they can get in touch with this wonderful woman. And I don't know what their gender is, but is there anywhere online that you can...
I have a Facebook page called SOS, which is Steel on Sustainability. And I also have an email address, which is sciencemademedoit@gmail.com.
Of course, it's Rita Steel, so Steel on Sustainability. Go ahead and shoot her a message. Thanks so much, Rita. It's a treat always.
No worries. You guys have a good week.
Cheers, you too.
That was Sustaining Alive with Rita Steel on 95 BFM.